This will also be on Facebook, just a heads up.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
In the turn three, Paris knocks on the door, looks to the inside. Chris Green hammers car 65 off turn four to take the checkered flag. Mitchell Paris second. Josh Ayers, Showtime, Nathan Pierce, and Cookie Evans round out your top five.
Satterfield slips as well. Chapel gets loose off the corner. Satterfield goes by. Brandon Satterfield, your main event winner.
Higgins with the lead, heads, noses to the inside. He gets to the bumper. Higgins a little sideways. Here comes the catering. Kenneth Head, they'll go side by side into turn three. Luke Sorrow looking for room. Heading off turn four. Higgins gets sideways. They touch coming to the line. Oh my goodness.
Looking now for the checkered flag, and it is in the air. Dustin Lightning Rod, your winner and Predator 350 of a Bradley Gillespie, and the four of Ricky Bridgman will round out your top three here in Predator 350, and that will be a wrap on this main event here
at Foothills Raceway.
No threat out back yet. Here comes Gray, slips it up high. Robinson will try for it. Into the side he goes. Lee Gray will win. Robinson slides up the track. Everybody scatters as Billy Rushton takes second, Dale Timms third, Jeff Crowder fourth, and the 18 of Justin Sims rounds out the top five.
Good evening, race fans. Welcome into this edition of Grubbin' the Hammer, brought to you by Five Bucks Daddy's Grand Hill Farms Photography. Looks great with a Healy hookup you got for us.
That's right. I've got a lot of hookup as well, trying to do the double screen thing. Look at I was about to say four different monitors, but that's not exactly true. But there we go. We're back again here on Dropping the Hammer while trying to maintain everything. We got Dale with us this time, and also returning is old Alan is here with us as well.
How you doing, Alan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Days of Thunder, huh?
Absolutely. It's the William Byron throwback shirt.
Ah, very good.
I remember when you, wasn't I with you when you got that as well?
Yeah, I got it on the way outside of the track because I had already bought one shirt that day.
Well, yeah, that's right. Those still good times.
Yes, sir. Stuff starting to happen around us. It's hopefully this virus is on the downhill trend. Certainly hope. Folks, if you have not read the article, Bobby Bennett, who writes for Competition Plus magazine, that's drag racing mainly. Bobby does a tremendous job. He's fought this virus. You need to go to Competition Plus, read his story. We shared it, Dropping the Hammer. I shared it in my Facebook. He tells about how he felt before he got it, how he felt during it, and on his Facebook, he's been giving updates. Other day, his update was, it's been 30 days since I've yawned, and he was able to yawn the other day. This thing is ugly, and I know they had to go to extreme measures, but it would be so much worse if they hadn't slowed everything down trying to keep this thing under wraps, because it's much more contagious than the flu.
Yeah, that's definitely true, and granted, I have... It's been a tough time kind of adjusting, without any racing or in general any work to do, but there's a good reason for it, and now hopefully we're finally all past that. So the rumblings are starting to happen, so hopefully here within the next couple of weeks we'll be able to start making some noise again.
Yeah, we can hope, and things are trending in a good direction, and I just hope and pray that we do everything with the right things in mind, and we don't hop back a little too quickly is the only thing.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah, definitely with you there. We did have some of our local tracks have some practice days last week. They're able to start renting the tracks out once again. Have to limit it to a certain number of cars. Cherokee Speedway had practice last weekend. Anderson's advertising they can this week. Travelers Rest is having practice. Harris had practice. Lawrence has got one coming up. I believe Greenville Pickens does. So this Check Rear Tracks Grid Dragway also was in action last week. Limited number of cars again. And just, you know, give folks little time, what they've been working on. You know, them guys, Alan, you put a racer in a box and tell them you can't race for a couple of weeks. They tweaking and trying to make that thing faster and faster.
Yeah, if anything, they've just had more time at the shop. You just have no testing on it. So everything's experimental, and we'll just see what happens when everyone gets back out there.
Or you could do like Colt Smith has done, and I believe he's got his race car ready to go for the season down at Lawrence. So what he and his son CJ have done have completely torn apart an old Ford tractor and basically are rebuilding it from the ground up.
I believe that's an 8N Ford tractor, actually.
There you go.
I seen some pictures of that. I believe that's the model.
I mean, yeah. It looks sharp now that they've got some new paint and a lot of new parts in it, too.
Yes, sir. He'll be able to come to Dacresville Farm Days.
September, Labor Day weekend. Yes. That'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun.
Well, guys, a lot of strange headlines the past few weeks with things going on, with folks getting themselves in trouble. Alan, I know this. We've seen it before. We've seen it now with Kyle Larson. It's hate it happened to him, but his ears listening everywhere.
There's always cameras on. Ears are always listening, and you know there's at the track. You know there's fans always listening, and I'm sure that's something that is on everyone's mind. You know, trying to be a little more tapered back, but in an online setting like that, sometimes it's just a little too easy to let things like things that you would have normally tapered back slip out, and that was way past the line. And I hate to see that he lost all his sponsorships, he lost his ride, he lost basically everything up in the Cup Series. The only one to really hang an olive leaf towards him was the World of Outlaws, and he owns his own car, so they really couldn't say no. So I hope there's a redemption story at the end of this, but just the way I've been seeing everything go through, this feels way more Jeremy Mayfield than it does Kurt Busch.
It does seem that way, even the manufacturer pulling the paper. And just, you know, there's certain words, you know, that's one word that needs to be erased from the lexicon and everywhere, every form of media, everywhere. They need to do away with that word. It shouldn't be in any song lyrics. It shouldn't be used. And yes, it shouldn't be used as hate. We just need to make rid of that word.
And the fallout that came from that event, it was so fast. I mean, within 48 hours, he had lost pretty much all of, Alan, talking about the sponsors leaving, there was just one after another in that span of 48. And then at the end of it, Chip Ganassi just basically went, okay, you're done. You're fired.
It was absolutely interesting to see, because in all of their press releases, they basically said they didn't want to deal with Kyle. It was never that they didn't want to deal with Chip Ganassi or each other. It was Kyle Larson specifically. So that, and darn the circumstances and how everything's played out, but this really opens up an interesting thing. That's the first domino in silly season now. We're already there.
Yeah, we basically really are, because talk about it. Larson being, well, he was in a contract year, and I guess that sorted itself out. But now the interesting question becomes is obviously who's going to take over the 42 ride. If Larson comes back to NASCAR, where could he end up, if somewhere? So this has really shaken things up. It's definitely the silly season before we get back, and then after we get back to racing, once the season is finally over, it's definitely going to set some interesting cards up to play.
Absolutely. I'm interested to see how it all plays out, but the obvious answer for the 42 right now is Ross Chastain. Yes. But if you go Ross Chastain, that now in turn opens up the 6 ride, because he's already filling in for Ryan Newman.
That's very true.
Ryan will be back. All indications, I haven't heard reports saying he's coming back when NASCAR starts back up, but it seems like he is doing very well, and we may indeed have him back in that 6 car.
And it would be awesome to see a season-ending injury only last 3 races.
Yes.
If you look at the scheme of things, yeah, it could very well go that way.
Yeah, he's still ahead of a lot of guys in points and only ran one complete race.
When you think about it that way.
And even on that subject, back to Ross, Ross has run all four races. So if he ends up in the 42 full-time after this, he could declare for cup points.
Yes.
That he could.
And all he's got to do is get that win, be in the top 30. That car is capable of winning.
And he's capable of doing it.
Exactly. If Ross Chastain's behind the wheel, that car is capable of winning. I don't care what car.
I agree to that.
Did you see the Michigan IndyCar race?
Yes, I did.
Probably don't remember seeing them race at Indy. I mean, at Michigan. I got to see that in person one time. Britt and I, another friend of ours, went up there and saw the Marlboro 500 in person. It was amazing to see that race in person. To see them go back there here in this internet web forum was pretty neat. And Dale Jr. figured out lap counts and kind of got him a little bit, but he had a good solid run, finished third in that race.
Made the pit strategy work for him. And, Alan, you told me you had sent me a – well, actually, I think I looked up the video, but you told me about one of the IndyCar races where they, oddly enough, had a pileup coming to green on the opening lap.
If someone on Twitter that right before the Michigan race said, how long before this goes full US 500? And the answer was not even a lap because they didn't even make it to green.
It was about like watching the US 500. It was indeed because it – big pileup.
Yeah, and it was cool to see that, and also this past weekend, seeing them go back out to Twin Ring Motegi, see them race that track at Japan, and then seeing the Penske boys battle it out and watch Scott McLaughlin and Will Power get taken out by a lapper. Just, it's actual entertainment, just like the real thing.
Yes, sir. Richmond this weekend was a little disappointing when they told NASCAR guys no resets. On a short track, he did a lot of follow the leader for a good bit of that.
Yeah. Out of all the shows from last weekend, the two major ones we've already spoken on, that was the weakest one. And even all the other ones, Ryan Vargas' E-Truck Series 9 in America, he put on that truck race at Richmond with a bunch of, you know, like Ron Capps and a bunch of those guys and also a bunch of the sim racers. I'd argue that was the best show of the weekend. So, seeing Zach Novak trying to take out a leader and miss with four to go, and then what you're talking about at Richmond, just seeing all these things, just following William Byron because he's finally figured it out.
Yeah, he is wheeling that thing, and I'm looking forward to Talladega. I think it's gonna be very entertaining. They do give him some resets, but because some of the rumors they were at Fox, we're gonna see more than 40 cars take the green flag.
They announced that one reset for that race on Sunday. And also, I'm interested to see, because we've seen, you've mentioned Dale Jr. did Michigan, Kyle Busch did Twin Ring Motegi, Jimmy Johnson did the first two events for IndyCar. I'm interested to see if some of these IndyCar guys start bleeding over into the NASCAR side.
Yes, sir. You know they want to get their feet wet in it, this would be a good way to do it.
Absolutely. And you're seeing a bunch of guys Wednesday night iRacing on FS1 just wrapped up their fourth week, not even 15 minutes ago, and saw Scott McLaughlin, Will Power, Tony Kanaan, a bunch of those IndyCar guys all in that race. And the only thing that I thought was the hang up was that Indy does not race on NBC or only races on NBC. They don't race on Fox, but there were four right there that were just on Fox. So they could hop in and it's apparently not a problem.
It's good exposure for both series, I believe.
Absolutely, and especially with Roger Penske owning the series now and wanting to blend the lines between these two so they don't have, like, Kart and IRL back in the 90s. We'll see what happens in the next couple weeks.
Well, Greg, what have you been up to?
I hate to say it, but I did miss the Richmond Invitational. I feel a little bit bad about that, but other things prevailed from that one. I do like
if you saw the Bristol Busch Grand National race from 85, That makes up for everything.
Okay. I think I might have to go back and watch that one. Being alive in 85 for me is a little bit difficult. But I'm okay with what NASCAR and these folks are doing. I'm glad they're still putting on something on Sunday and the crowds that they're drawing, because on the television ratings they're getting are actually very very good, very comparable. Of course, there's a lot of exposure for iRacing, and that's a great thing to see that that's getting. But I am worried about what, and I don't know who's in the overall charge of things, because I don't know if NASCAR has any hands-on control with the iRacing thing, but I do have to ask a question, and I may have pinned it on Fox just because I could, and they were the easiest target, I'm sorry to say, but I gotta ask, is Fox overdoing it with this pro invitational thing, setting the resets for the quick repairs in and out each week? And it almost feels like, and I think Michael McDowell kind of spoke on this for a little bit, they're kind of controlling who gets into the field.
Yes.
To be fair, the last two events have both been at short tracks, and for anyone who hasn't run on iRacing, that's kind of a death sentence if they're not well equipped to what's going on, even if you've done the real thing. So that might have been part of the problem. That's might be why we're seeing such a big field increase here for Talladega. And also that numbers were going to go down when they implemented Saturday Night Thunder 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, two events ago. So some of that has to do with it. But I think the bigger question, Gray, is which side's doing it right? Is NBC doing it right with IndyCar, or is Fox doing it right with NASCAR? Because Fox is just following the NASCAR schedule. It's just like, all right, this would have been Talladega week. Let's do Talladega. This would have been Dover week. We're going to go to Dover, just as far as this takes. But what IndyCar's done is like, all right, let's go take these out to a track we don't normally go to. We haven't been to in a while. We haven't done anything. It was like Fan Choice got one of them. Driver's Choice gets another. There was a random draw at one point. So it's interesting. And they even posed the question at the Motegi race, talking to Paul Tracy and Townsend Bell, where do you want that dream track, that sixth race to be? And one said, let's do the Indy 500. Let's just straight up do it. And one of them said, let's go to Talladega where we don't have to worry about killing each other.
Wow. That would be entertaining. Seeing at Talladega, even on a computer, I think it'd be neat, because they would be going so blooming fast if they tried to do that in real life.
There's nothing restricting those engines. You're talking about a car that on a flat track in Indianapolis can average over 2.5 miles, 237 miles an hour. Imagine high banks that are built to maintain consistent speed.
Could be knocking on John Force's rear bumper.
Exactly.
High 270s, 280s. I do believe. Imagine trying to drive that in real life.
You wouldn't need a brake pedal for that.
Yeah, big brake pedal. I would like to see somebody take an Indy car down there and do a speed run. But you got to be super smooth and hope a tire holds up.
That's true.
Yeah, Gray, you and I talked last episode where we had watched some of the NBC replays, some of the Fox replays, and one that came up was 2015 Fontana for the IndyCar side. And how I found it interesting that they left the interviews in after the race, where Ryan Briscoe had a terrifying incident right at the checkered flag. And they talked to Tony Kanaan and Will Power, and they both said, Will said it better than the other, that if they're not careful, this could turn into Las Vegas all over again, referencing what happened to Dan Weldon. Yeah. So I thought that was an interesting take to leave that in there and all that. And I'm glad they did, because that race, extremely exciting, extremely good, but we have to be aware of the dangers of it. So with that in mind, why not take these virtual cars to somewhere that we're never going to go, for driver safety or regardless? Like, you look back at the 69 Talladega race, the very first one, and many of them left because they thought it was too dangerous. Now, imagine knowing that now with something with a car that's even more dangerous than the stock car.
I would like to see a little IndyCar exhibition thing in iRacing at Dega and a few other places that, you know, you would think there's no way they could go there. That would be very nice. So I appreciate Fox. I will say this. I appreciate them sticking to the schedule and kind of trying to provide some sense of normalcy until we can get back going again. But maybe it is time. I'm starting to like this. Maybe we should think outside the box idea.
Yeah, and I love stock cars on road courses. I just think it's interesting. It's just weird enough. And like, there's so many different places they could take those cup cars. They could take them out at the Indy road course, like they're going to do with the Xfinity cars anyway. Whenever they get to go down there, they could take them out, you know, Mid Ohio, Laguna Seca, just name it. They could go.
Yes.
Even go back to Soldier Field.
They could
bring up some of those. Alan Dietz, who used to be the announcer for the past series, get on Facebook tonight. How about you want this race to come back and, you know, kick around out here? Alan back going to Darlington. He said, what about a Greenville Pickens? What about Myrtle Beach? What about Hickory? Maybe even The Rock for that. I don't know if Rock would be, you know, if the site would be ready. I don't know what kind of condition the facilities are down there right now, because it's been since 2014 since they hosted anything. But Myrtle Beach, yeah, let's go. If it's going to be no fans, don't have to worry about that. It's a short track. I know they don't have safer barriers, but a short track, I think it would be fine.
That's the only question. And I applaud, especially after the Daytona 500, what happened to Newman. I don't see them going anywhere that doesn't have safer barriers. They have that rule in place for a reason. Like, in a dream scenario, yeah, absolutely. Take them out to Myrtle Beach, take them out to all these classic places, but I highly doubt that they're going to run anywhere that does not have safer barriers.
If Myrtle Beach or if it's Greenville Pickens, there'd be so many of us, me included, trying to find a way in to watch it.
And speaking of fans being in there, South Dakota, their dirt track up there already they're planning a race for 4 days from now on Saturday with a 700 spectator limit, but they're strongly discouraging them not to go.
Yeah, I can tell you. Let me tell you exactly. Let me do a demonstration for you exactly of what they're doing. No, stop, please, don't come.
It's 4,000 spectator attendance with 700 is their cap.
Yeah. It's not telling me not to go to concession stand.
So yeah, I bet that looking at it, I guess geographically within the U.S., South Dakota is one of the few states that doesn't have a mandatory stay-at-home order, whatever you want to call it. So that was up to them. So that's interesting, but strongly, yeah, they're I wonder how strongly that they are strongly discouraging people. But anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, from reading the headlines, it said no cash will be accepted and that 700 capper on the attendance. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that, but hey, it's something.
Fair enough.
And South Dakota right now does have one city that has one food processing plant where they have over 200 cases of COVID. And they have the most rules right now. How'd that work out?
That's the problem.
Well, there you go.
I'm looking forward to seeing some pictures from some of these tracks that's going to have practice. Ray Paris posted some good ones from Harris last weekend, seeing some of those 602 Thunder type late models up there at the track. Also some Renegade cars, some just regular guys out there just getting some time in. And appreciate the hard work that's been going in up there. They've trying to update the facility. When they had the bonus time off, they said, you know, we brought in some clay. Let's put some more clay down. And they did that, painted the walls, new light bulbs put up, because they had a couple of dark corners last year where a couple of bulbs got blown out, whatever. Working on that, Cherokee Speedway. They've painted the press box, painted the walls, pressure wash bathrooms and stuff over there. So a lot of work going on these racetracks.
And I'll bring this up again, because I have seen a couple pictures of it now. The water tanks down at Lawrence, they have been completely redone in the I think it's the CarQuest colors. Yeah. And I haven't been able to see them up close yet, but it has been really, really cool to see them. Well, because they have a fresh coat of paint on them for the first time in 20 years. It might be a bit overdoing it, but they have new paint. Now, granted, the logo's different because they changed companies from Coca-Cola to CarQuest. But again, I just want to clear this up. Folks, if you want to be been out of shape or mad or upset about this whole ordeal, you should be giving Coke a phone call, because they were the ones that decided that it wasn't worth maintaining them.
Right. And kind of hard to put a wrap on a water tank.
Yeah, with the shape and everything. So a big shout out to CarQuest.
CarQuest might have done a wrap. I don't know.
That'll be something to wait and see when I do eventually get down there. But thank you, CarQuest, for that. And I mean, that's a great way to sponsor. And they look better now, besides being just faded and dried out in the heat.
And a lot of work gone on down there. Is Hurley's put extra clay down, getting ready for the season. I'm looking to see what we're here for practice. And most forward to what and when we can get back to racing, if it's going to be normal or, you know, other events as well. Just, you know, minor league baseball, things like that. What are we going to have when this virus finally settles down? When's it going to get back up here in the Carolinas? What we can and can't do.
And the important thing is, okay, nationally, for national sports, you think, okay, yeah, they could probably run X amount of events without fans because they're still worried about this coming back up. For local stuff like the minor league games and a lot of, well, let's just focus on the upstate of South Carolina here, all the racetracks that are here. You're not going to be able to run an event without fans, because that's your lifeblood, and that's where source of income is from ticket sales, concessions, things like that. You can't do that. You can't run without crowds at your just local Friday night or Saturday night track.
Right. You have a practice session, you're more or less just taking enough money in from the cars coming to practice to pay the help that you have to have there. Mm-hmm. It's hard to make money on a practice day. I mean, if you have a concession open, it's just, you know, prepackaged candy bars, drinks. You're not cooking anything because you don't have enough people there really to cook for, because guys that come practice, they're going to be there an hour and a half to 2 hours, if that long, leave. Then what they're going to do with the car, they're going home. They're not going to stay all day just to see who's getting faster or maybe do something different. If they're going to make big changes to that car, they go home to do it.
That's right. That's right. That's why a lot of tracks and owners around here are so antsy, because we need to know a date when things are going to be able to get back going again. And it's been hard to guess which way things are going to go, but it's just an interesting little thing, I guess.
If something else I'm looking forward to do is getting back to the round table at Big Daddy's Restaurant, Asheville Highway in Edmond. Right now they're doing to-go orders, the old curbside service. You call your order in, 864-472-EAT1. Call them up, tell them what you want. Of course, that menu is available online. ChiliCheeseburger.com, I believe, is the website. But pretty much at Big Daddy's, you tell them what you want, they're going to fix it for you. They've got it there. Give them a call. They'd be happy to serve. You can still get ice cream, milkshakes, hot fudge sundae. Imagine going over there to eat a hot fudge sundae in the that sounds good.
And this would be the
on the dash. I'd clean it up later. Ice cream, you know.
Yes, I need to get back to I've already forgotten what all I did with it now, with putting the I think it was a country fried steak, and I had mashed potatoes ended up using it as a condiment and on the bottom part of the bun. I was very, very pleased with that.
It looked interesting, Alan. You have to see that fried country steak sandwich with mashers on it.
Yeah, knowing Gray as long as I have, I'm sure it was something interesting and it was surprisingly delicious.
Duh.
If we'd only been at Sutherland Hill Farms Photography, we could have had pictures made.
Yes, we could.
June weddings, I know this has been tough on Sutherland Hill Farms Photography as far as weddings and things, but still private sessions. Gray, I believe they're still able to do those, aren't they?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The business hasn't really slowed, but yes, pitch appointments are still available. SutherlandHillFarmsPhotography.com, best way to get in touch that way. But the April calendar was pretty stocked full, so it hadn't really slowed down much, if any. So you can come on, get those done.
Can they take a picture of me, make it look like I got a full head of hair?
Yes, that is with the masterful power of editing and Photoshop, anything is possible.
Nice. Knocked off about 45 pounds too.
Okay, that well, I don't.
one might be more tricky than the other.
Right. It might be doable. It might be doable.
Goodness. They do some good work over there, folks. You got a important family event coming up. Hey, Mother's Day, about a month away. You have time to get those pictures made for your mom and your grandmother, a special aunt, whatever. Wedding anniversary's coming up. Mine's in 2 months. Might be something special for Kathy. That's something you might could do. So.
Time to start planning now.
That's right. Okay, getting back to the local tracks, we've got some that's already announced some events coming up. Traveler's Rest, the first weekend in May, saying, hey, we're doing the Hawkins Memorial. I'm hoping they've got clearance already, or maybe they're just basing it on what Government Master said, but going back to work, you know, at the 30th. So I hope they're not jumping the gun. I know. Excitement started for something, and hey, all of us want to see live racing once again. All us race fans here locally, and us announcers who have not got to call any races, want to make sure the voice is still there. But just hope it we keep everything. You know, don't get too excited too early and mess something up here.
That's the big thing right now is basically circling April 30th on the calendar, because at least for the. I can't really speak for North Carolina or Georgia or Tennessee. Well, granted, you have the announcements that have come out of those respective states. I can't really speak for them, but South Carolina, that, what is it, the non-essential business order, I think it is, that is what is slated to run out at the end of the month. So that's what we're all waiting on, because if that expires or Governor McMaster decides, okay, we'll end this here, that's pretty much what we're waiting on. If he extends it through the month of May, then all those plans we've made are pretty much gone and over with.
And I know Tennessee, there's some of those tracks announced. They've got races coming up very, very soon. Walter Tapp, of course, working a couple different series. He may be a busy man here in a couple weeks.
I think their first one was for the American Crate All-Star Series. They, they've got May 9th circled. That I think that's their first one up there.
Our buddy David Langster, been seeing lots of pictures of Southeast Gassers that's ready to go. Got some new cars coming into that series. Their race that was postponed in Florida to start the season off back in March, I think they moved that to November. And they can still get their schedule in because they have – you know, spaced out events far enough where they can squeeze a couple together here and there and get their entire schedule. Some of these other series, Alan, they're going to have to look at doing double events, perhaps, like the Yellow Blue Ridge Outlaw Late Models have done a couple of years. They get a rain out, they'll do a double points race somewhere, and you may see some of that going on, or maybe twin features like we have at some of the NASCAR wheeling tracks, like Anderson and Greenville Pickens. You'll have twin features for late models some nights.
It'll be interesting to see how everyone tackles this, because even at the top ranks, we've seen different approaches to how to do these schedules, whether to cancel events, reschedule, where to throw them, replace them, or whatever. So across the board, all these different tracks are going to have to do something, and whatever they choose is fit, I'm sure is right for them. So we'll just see how it goes.
As far as NASCAR wheeling points for our – our three tracks in South Carolina in that system, Myrtle Beach, Greenville, Pickens, Anderson. I'm hoping NASCAR will extend the Whelen National a little bit deeper into September, maybe to the end of September, give those guys some of these makeup weeks. But on the other hand, they know those late model guys are looking to run big events like the ones you have at Myrtle Beach. Maybe you can tag in and get a couple of the Cars Tour events after you're through with NASCAR Whelen Points. It's a fine line trying to juggle and add to the end of a season, you know, trying to work around tracks that have big things coming up, the snowball. There's some folks that's going to wait, take a car down there. They're not going to put it anywhere else.
Because we've already seen that with a lot of the IndyCar schedule, especially just some of these tracks had already had big events, concerts or whatever, rallycross races or however you want to describe it. And sometimes the setup would bridge through whatever weekend they would have thrown it on. So they may have an open weekend, but that doesn't mean the track's able to be used.
Right. That may take, you know, at other other events as well. Bowman Gray, you know, said everything. Best of my knowledge, they're not looking to get back in action until either late May, early June. And their schedule's real tight because they have to end up, I think it's 2 weeks before college football starts. And you hear this rumor that football may start sooner than later this year.
And I don't know how that would even work because for those who don't know, and when I found this out, I thought it was pretty cool because Bowman Gray is also the home of, didn't you say, Dale, Winston-Salem State?
Yes, sir. Former home of the Wake Forest Demon Deacons, now Winston-Salem State plays it. 15,000-plus seat stadium. It's a horseshoe type. And where the field house is located for football, that's the pit area for the racetrack.
Let's see, I think that's pretty neat. And, yeah, if football season gets moved up any, that is going to hurt Bowman Gray. Then they're going to have to – I'm sure they are trying to coordinate everything that they possibly can. You got to feel for them being put in that position because they are really stuck.
Alan, the history of Bowman Gray and their ability to pull fans, I believe if they said we're going to run Tuesday night, Saturday night, place to be packed both nights.
They absolutely could. Just seeing lower divisions race there throughout the years, I've never had the privilege of going over to it, but just knowing the history of that small little track, that small little asphalt track around a football stadium, around a football field, it's easy enough for them, the novelty of itself, to draw people in, let alone all the other factors that have factored into what's going on right now.
You got to do it. Please. Go up early enough so you can go through the RCR Museum.
Oh, yes.
I have gone through the RCR Museum. I just haven't been to a race. I've been to all the race shops.
And now, guys, since we're just past 8:30, there is one thing I wanted to mention, and I plan on watching this when we wrap this up, but there is a rather interesting event going on, and I'm kind of still trying to figure out who's putting it on, but it'll be on NBC Track Pass if you've got that, and it's called the Marquee Hot Tubs 125. It is racing to benefit South Boston Speedway up in Virginia, and if you look at the entry list, the graphic that got put out that I found, it is a very good show just from the entry list that they got.
Yeehaw.
So the qualifying just started, and heat races qualifying's over. Heat races just started, and the main event feature is at 9. So if you got the NBC Track Pass, that'll be something to check out. But let's see, some of the names they got. Corey LaJoie is going to be in it. Garrett Smithley, because when isn't he running something? So this is probably the iRacing deal. DJ Kennington, that's a NASCAR name I recognize. Drew Herring, Castle's going to be in it. And then they have some short track guys and some other regional guys. And I'm just looking around to see if I see any more names. But there's a lot of them. So if you got that, go watch it. It looks pretty neat.
And you know, one thing I've Yeah, go,
go ahead. Go, Alan.
One thing that, if there's been any good through all this craziness that's happened in the last couple weeks, it's that we've seen all this bleed over, all these different guys trying different things, but we're just seeing so much racing right now.
Oh yes. Yes, that is definitely true. And okay, yes, it's virtual simulation type deal, but again, to reiterate, iRacing probably the most realistic thing you're gonna get right now until we can actually get racing back. But and the fact that this is a benefit race for South Boston, I know all the local tracks are getting hit hard by it, but to be able to support them in this way, that's pretty cool too. Give them some funds to kind of work on until we can get things going again.
Yes, sir. Help them out. Help them as well.
And you're not going to find a more generous community of fans that love what their local tracks or anything than race fans. Like, you look at your average NBA fan, your MLB fan, your NFL fan. They go to an event maybe once every 3-4 years a lot of times, and that's the money they give. But you talk to a bunch of race fans, and if there's a track in need, they will try and save it.
Yes. Yeah. One thing I've enjoyed about the iRacing is seeing some of these guys who don't have top-level equipment show, hey, I can run with these guys. Timmy Hill, Gary Smithley, Landon Castle. Guys, if they had a good car under them, they would be prepared to front battling.
Yeah, I'd throw Parker Kligerman into that as well, and just seeing all these guys have all these opportunities, just be able to take it. Because this is essentially, I mean, this is the modern-day evolution of IROC is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You put them all under same blanket, same setup, same car, go out there, beat each other. Simple as that.
Nothing has made me happier than seeing Timmy Hill when he won his iRace out at, I think it was Texas, wasn't it?
Texas,
when they had the camera set up on him, and all he had was a desk, his steering wheel there, and then his pedal set beneath him. Because guess what I have? A desk,
a steering wheel, same setup.
And a pedal set up. Because I'm like, that's what I have. Now, granted, the pedals are kind of broken, but yeah, I have it.
You don't have to step off that hard, Gray.
Yeah, finesse is the thing, buddy.
Oh, well, okay, yeah, fine.
Yeah, but just seeing these guys, and they even joked about it, I think it was last race, that Timmy Hill's setup is older than Garrett Smithley's cup car.
Yeah.
when you look at it that way, yes, that would be true.
Yeah, I like Trent Ivey's as well, and they showed his with the World of Outlaws race. He had it mounted to the table with two C clamps from the tool shed.
I still think my personal favorite might have been, I forgot which IndyCar guy it was, but he broke a spring in his brake. And then he tore apart his girlfriend's sewing machine and found one that fit it exactly right before the race started.
Now, how do you get that lucky?
MacGyver.
I guess so. That's
absolutely MacGyvered it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, what can I use that would fix this pedal? Springs from sewing machine? Okay, sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be a... It's got an accelerator pedal. It's got to have a spring with it.
Oh, this just so happens to be the exact same size as what I'm looking for.
This era that we're in is bringing out a lot of ingenuity. I'll give credit for that.
Bring it back to the old days.
I mean, well, you go back and watch the... I'm going to bring this up because I couldn't believe it actually happened with Phil Parson literally giving Bobby Allison a steering wheel going, hey, here.
Hey, BP, help me out.
Looking at that going, what? Did that? No, you'll never see that in today's world, but that happened.
Okay, complete tangent here because this just came up today. So, Gray, did you watch the Talladega race that they aired today on the NASCAR channel?
No, I did not.
1988, if I'm not mistaken, it's Darrell Waltrip winning on a last lap pass. But complete sidebar, and this is just something that I found like scrolling all those NASCAR YouTubers in the years past. That race is the L.W. Wright race, if you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, the fake name. The fake name, wasn't it?
The D.B. Cooper of NASCAR is that race.
81 or 82, I think it was.
I think it's 1982.
Yeah, because they had the notchback cars. He was in the Dew machine, Mountain Dew car.
Mm-hmm.
But that was that race. Wow.
Yeah, they brought him up earlier in the race. I was like, oh, wait a minute, I know about this story. He ditches everything, leaves the car there, doesn't pay his bills, and just does not exist. That man raced one race under a fake name, and he can tell no one that he did it.
And you know what the really weird thing is? If you go to the racing reference page for the 1982 Talladega 500, he's not listed in the final running order.
Is it it's the Winston 500. It's the other one.
Okay, it's the other one. All right. But that was interesting.
Yeah, just thought that was funny because I hadn't thought about that in probably 8 months. And then it just showed up right on my screen today.
Because I saw the same one you were talking about, and I went, no way. But yeah, I'm going to try and find this now.
Yeah, Greg with multiple. Old man here's got his phone running, and I'm not looking at a computer or anything. So you ask me a trivia question, you know I got to do it from here.
Right up in the brain.
All right.
I knew it was in the 80s. I just wasn't alive then.
Nope. Here we go. Yep. Here we go. The 1982 Winston 500. L.W. Wright finished 39th, only ahead of one guy, had an engine go out, it says, with Music City Racing.
Dave Sisco was 40th.
Yep. David's, what was that, Simcoe?
Simcoe, yeah.
But that.
Lap 5, 6, something like that.
But there, yep, he is in the database, albeit fake, I guess.
We'll never know.
I mean, if you click on his name on the finishing order, Nashville, Tennessee is the only fact listed for him.
Because that's Music City Racing is where he said he based it out of. Yep. So that's all we air quotes know.
That's all.
Yeah, and nice. While we're on the topic, or not while we're on the topic, but to get away from that topic, I should say, some schedules, some tentative schedules, and some tentative things have been thrown around in the last couple weeks, and most recently in the past week, NASCAR has said that they don't want to start the season with the Coke 600, but rather run a race beforehand, not the All-Star race, obviously, because we've only run 4 races, so... presumably All-Star Week, but the guys in Charlotte, the Cup teams, said they want a race within reasonable driving distance. So that leaves, you know, reasonable. So that leaves you Bristol, Tennessee, Talladega, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia, or Darlington, South Carolina is the front runner right now.
I guess the kind of funny thing to take out of this is they're reasonable. Well, I guess what you would mean by reasonable driving distance from the tracks you listed is also reasonable. And what I kind of don't like is obviously running this without fans, but that's also reasonable driving distance for us.
Yeah.
Because we're dead center of all of that.
And mainly for the teams, they want to be able to drive to the track and turn around and come home same day.
No flights, minimal contacts. Just basically trying to huddle with the guys you're with all week long anyway. Get there and get back.
Yeah. State of Virginia is still under their impound or quarantine until the end of May. So that's why Martinsville's already been discarded as far as next month. Darlington may get 2 races. Like Grace said, what a novel idea. Who'd have thought it? 2 races at Darlington.
It could be interesting just seeing all that. And it would be very interesting because it would end up having to replace a race we missed more than likely. So that's So that's Homestead, Atlanta, Texas, Bristol, and Richmond up to this point.
Yeah.
And it would be very ironic if Texas is the one they flip out.
Yes. Homestead is what it's called.
Well, there's a very I don't think this would happen, but we've already mentioned this track several times just in the last hour or so. But let's just experiment a little bit, you know. Let's go to this place called Rockingham. Let's put that back on there. I never got a chance to go.
They do have safer barriers. They just have to clean the track and make sure it's race ready.
Yeah.
And, well, then hop to it.
Because you've got to be able to support the NASCAR teams, you know, have restroom facilities and whatnot, and just don't know what kind of repair the track is in down there, what kind of working order.
Yeah.
I hope it's okay.
It's better than North Wilkesboro, but that's really not saying a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, Wilkesboro, no activity there since like 2010, and that was a couple of late model races.
And it's absolutely been taken over by the earth. If you see overheads from this year, it's in disrepair at this point, and that's sad.
You know, Dale Jr. Took that crew in there and they cleaned it up so they could map it for iRacing. But that was, you know, last fall.
And that was last fall, and basically all they did was clean the asphalt.
Yep. And kudzu and weeds grow strong.
Yes, they do, especially down here they do. Oh, boy.
They try hard. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's interesting is Texas is on the flip side of the coin. Texas has said that Eddie Gossage has said in favor for Texas that they don't want to be the first one back specifically, but for them to save money on everything as far as things go, and IndyCar's restart is set for the first weekend in June at Texas. They want to do a Saturday, Sunday show. One shows up, runs, one shows up, runs.
Right.
And just have one weekend and get them both done so they minimize loss.
That would be good for the fans, for the track, yes. And, you know, we mentioned earlier about the IndyCar speed. Texas is a track they're going to have to look at because they are scary, scary fast down there. You know, Kart Series, when they tried to go down there, guys was coming in, Michael Andretti was one of them, look, I'm getting dizzy, I'm going so fast.
And yeah, G-forces were so bad that they were losing consciousness.
You kind of would think that you go back and look in 2008 at Michael McDowell's qualifying crash when he went sailing off into turn one 200+ and barrel rolled, flipped it down the banking, and that was in a stock car. I do not want to see that happen to an open wheeled Indy car.
No.
In open wheel, my only take as far as ovals for IndyCar and open wheel racing in general is they should be flat and long, or if you're going to bank them, they have to be under a mile. Iowa's perfect for them. It's not dangerous. Speeds are not that dangerous. But you take that basic setup, same banking and everything, and multiply that by two, and you end up with Las Vegas, which is taking lives.
Yeah, so the rest of it isn't good because the guy thinks, well, I can go up top, get more speed, and then you end up pushing tires too far. Somebody slides up off the low side in front of you, you jump wheels, and things get ugly in a hurry.
Yeah. And I'm very glad they finally took Pocono off the schedule. I'm glad to see that that's gone. It's a good event. It was always fun to watch, but it's so, so dangerous. Because, like, you even see them go Indianapolis, and they're never going to leave there. But Indianapolis by itself has taken how many lives? And then is injured so many more in the last, 6 years alone?
Yep. Had some scary wrecks there recently. The car that flipped in the infield. Flipped in the infield up on the inside wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Scott. Scott Dixon missed the tub by, I think they said it was ages. Mm. And I go back to the incident with, I think it was Sebastian Bourdais, hit a wall so hard that the telemetry registered at 347 miles an hour. Mm. And you look at what I think James Hinchcliffe, his cab collapsed in a way that the chassis impaled him through both legs.
Yep.
It's a dangerous place.
Yep.
And Hinch, if that wreck had happened anywhere else,
he's done. Yeah.
That's the best medical team around. And that's one thing I can applaud the IndyCar series when Zanardi had his wreck 2001 in Germany. Those doctors that traveled with him was able to save him. Yes, he lost his legs, but he still got his life.
Yeah, exactly. There is no doubt in my mind that is the best medical crew in all of sports. It's not even a contest. Because you, like, even the lives they lost, they did everything they could. If you're looking back at the last two alone with Dan Weldon and Justin Wilson, they did everything they could.
And Justin Wilson, such a freak accident. The cone, nose cone come off at one car, and there he is coming down the back stretch, and it hits him in the helmet. Which
it wasn't the incident of hitting him in the head that was the downfall. It was the fact that it knocked him unconscious and careened him into an inside wall.
But you take the speed of that with him hitting him in the helmet. He's going roughly 200. That thing's traveling a good rate of speed. Mm-hmm. Just that blow to his head.
And that's why I'm glad to see that they have aero screens now. That incident is what drove F1 and IndyCar both to do something for their drivers, and I much prefer what IndyCar's done.
And NHRA
as well, yes. Just seeing IndyCar with essentially a windshield, but you still get the open wheel look. It's just protective. Mm-hmm. Whereas F1's, it does its job. It just looks horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it canopy like a fighter pilot.
We've referenced that they're basically jet engines on the ground anyway, so why not lean into it?
Exactly. Well, Gray, we're approaching 9 o'clock. What you got left?
I just basically wanted to, hit the track schedule one more time. That's the last thing I wrote down on the notepad. There was on the discussion topics list, since some tracks we're trying to get back to it. Lawrence has a controlled practice this Saturday. Up at Foothills, we're hoping to get going possibly by May 1st. That is the date we have selected. There is also a controlled practice going on. That'll be Saturday morning to Saturday afternoon, as long as the daylight persists or as long as we have folks coming up. So if you want to participate in that, check the Facebook page, Foothills Raceway, for more details, or get in touch with Brad Bracken that way to set up the deals with that. And a lot of the other places that are practicing too, because I may have forgotten them.
Yeah, Harris Speedway, I believe, is practicing again this Saturday. Cherokee Speedway, Greer Dragway, Anderson Motor Speedway's got practice coming up. So, folks, just check out your favorite tracks Facebook page, your website, get that schedule, know what's going on. And yes, check out schedules in Tennessee, because there's some tracks firing back up there very, very soon.
So, yep, the social media pages, that's what I'm going by. That's what we have to go by. So just kind of keep a heads up, keep an eye on that, and that'll they'll definitely tell you what's going on as soon as they know. And that's what's kind of making this situation interesting, is because not a lot of people know.
My closing comment for the night, if you're still practicing social distancing, you need to get a new coach. If you don't know how to get social distance 5 weeks into this, your coach is not doing their job. Get a new social distancing offensive or defensive coordinator.
Coach, you're fired. That'll be, oh my goodness. Alan, what you got for us?
Just always good to have a good show with you guys and talk racing whenever we can, however it does show up. And, you know, hopping out of the racing world, I'm just excited for the NFL draft tomorrow.
That is true. Oh my, what do we have going on here?
Dr. Benjamin Franklin Pierce reporting for duty.
Okay. Okay.
Salute our soldier.
Oh boy. I think that feels like a good cue for the outro.
Building. Thank you and good night.
Roll Tide.